My lesson topic for today is bringing God into daily experience. Each of us lives a particular way of life, one that is established and put in place. Now, it is true that this way of life, it changes from time to time. As we travel through our journey on this earth plane, we do notice a variety of experience. Each one brings its own message, adding a different slant to our accumulated knowledge and understanding. We alter our approach to reflect our current thought and acceptance of what is happening to us at that moment, at that time. Now, through experience, or perhaps it's through trial and error, we determine what is important, what to keep, and what to reject. We fashion and mold our thoughts and our actions to conform to our personal opinion of what our life should be. Now, our desire is to bring all of our hopes, all of our aspirations, into our daily experience as our reality, contributing to the way of life we wish to establish and put in place. Now, this is important. You see, it is natural for us to want to improve us and enrich us in some way. We wish to grow and mature in ways that contribute to a finer display of benefits and rewards. Now, we also understand it is not enough to merely wish and hope that it will all come about. We also want tangible evidence of that finer ideal that we have for ourselves. And in the event that this does not happen, and there are times that that is the thing that does happen, we find us in a state of frustration, dissatisfaction. Now, our normal method of making things happen involves the work of thought. So immediately, we get very busy thinking about how we can make things happen. This may seem a little more productive than merely wishing and hoping. We feel certain if we stay true to our intent and our conviction, we will see results very quickly. So we begin our work. We ask our mental thought to place its attention on the physical form, pointing out its materialistic nature, all of its needs, all of its desires, its wants and wishes, focusing all activity in an external direction. Thought obeys us, and it goes to work, concentrating on the outer manifestation, considering it as proof of success or failure, victory or defeat. The human nature considers this of great importance. You see, it finds identity and personality in the persona it creates for itself. When we work with thought, we keep ourselves very, very busy, moving things around, testing this and trying that. This level of action, it may work for some, but it does not work for others. Not everyone wishes to travel the fast lane of life to reach his or her destination. Many individuals prefer a kinder, gentler approach to life. The particular way of life they wish to establish and put in place is far greater than the one directed to the outer realm of expression. Now, this may be your attitude and my attitude about life. Intuitively, we feel it is not essential that life be a constant state of busyness. It is not necessary for us to run a marathon in order to reach success and fulfillment. We feel there is more to life than what appears as form and demonstration. There must be other possibilities that we can consider when establishing our particular way of life. Now, individuals who are included in this category look at life from a different perspective, with a broader point of view. Their way of life is more reflective. Their nature requires a deeper insight and meaning. They find value in considerations that go beyond the outer display of benefits and rewards. These individuals are not interested in moving objects around and changing scenes. They also discover deeper understanding requires a different way of thinking, a new way of doing things, going beyond the possibilities available to the human nature. The way of life they wish to establish and put in place takes them beyond the personal needs and desires. Their approach to life is wider and larger than the personal experience called trial and error. These individuals, they're willing to think outside the box of general opinion and acceptance. Now, this new attitude, it takes us into a realm of life reserved for those who are spiritually minded. To make the spiritual way of life our way of life, we must first discover what makes up spiritual things. Exactly what is the nature and the essence of spiritual things? We know it is not a matter of trying to bring material good into our daily experience. Our true desire is to bring God into our experience. Somehow, some way, may we find a way to bring God into our experience. Now, we are certain that, yes, we have found the answer. This is the way of life, is the one that satisfies and fulfills in an inward way. And so we get busy, we ponder, and we reflect, contemplating what is necessary to bring it about. Realization dawns in us. If we can make this our way of life, it would not even be a matter of us living the spiritual way of life, but rather it would be Spirit leading us in the way in which we should go, guiding our thoughts and our actions and our deeds. We reason that in order to count us among the spiritually minded, that we must know something about God. We begin by asking the question, what do we know about God? We may have thought that we knew something about Him. After all, since childhood, we have prayed to God. At an early age, we attended Sunday school, and we read all of those little stories in the Bible. As we grew in understanding, we studied the words of the prophets and followed the ministry of Jesus Christ. As an adult, we went to church, and yes, we even took a few classes. But now we begin to wonder. We think we know something about God, But does this knowledge allow us to be counted among the spiritually minded? Perhaps we are merely entertaining a concept or an idea about God. How many of us can say for sure that we know God well enough to have a personal relationship with Him? Each of us must answer for himself. So we settle in, we read, and we study. And then we contemplate what we have discovered. We learn that God is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Divine science bases its teaching on the principle of the omnipresence of God. We learn that God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. These statements speak of the here-ness and of the now-ness of God, available and at hand. We remember that bringing God into our experience is our goal. Therefore, we begin to reason in this way. Since God is available and at hand, no place where God is not, then surely it would not be too difficult to find Him and bring Him into our experience, to invite Him into our life as a living reality. We consider the human nature. Now, the human nature does its work through mental thought, physical effort, and experience. The human nature does not know about spiritual things. So this cannot be our method of bringing God into our experience. It simply will not work. To bring God into our experience, God must be an activity of our own consciousness. Spiritual work, it's an activity of inner being. This place of inner being, it's sacred and it is holy. When we go there, we are alone with God. There are no distractions. There are no interruptions. Since this hallowed location is our place of high consciousness, we may enter it at any time. However, in order for us to do so, we must go not as that man of dust, but as that man who has his being in Christ. In a time of meditation, we release our thoughts and our emotions. We put aside the ways of the world with its fears and its concerns. We lay aside the personality, the persona we created for the human experience. In this silence, we become the empty vessel, receptive to the divine inspiration that awaits our attention. When we step aside in a personal way, we make conscious contact with God. We acknowledge His presence, content in our desire to be one with Him. Having established contact with God, we then carry Him with us as a state of consciousness, allowing Him to guide and direct our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions. Our personal relationship allows us to walk together through life as one, bringing God into our experience. Now we truly understand that statement. No place where God ends and man begins. Now this means that we do not leave home without Him. We take God with us to the marketplace, to the bank, the library, to the grocery store, and to the dry cleaners. He is the silent guest at the class reunion and the family gathering. If we are to bring God into our experience, then we must include Him in our experience. You see, God is a presence, and when He is present, there is harmony and there is peace. Therefore, not only do we carry Him with us to these events, but we also bring harmony and peace to the occasion. As we continue this practice, we discover that we should never make a move without first being conscious of that oneness, that unique relationship. The Father and I are one. As we study and practice the spiritual way of life, we do learn a few things. We may wish to state, declare, and share what we know about God. We may wish to tell others what we have discovered about God. However, we also understand that describing a contact with God is not a simple statement of words involving the mind and the work of thought. Contact with God is an inner release, and it frees us from worldly fears and concerns. It is feeling, sensing, and knowing that God is our sufficiency. This is not easy to put into words. When we attempt to do so, we may leave others wondering what in the world we are talking about. What have we done now? This is the way of life for us. It is the one we wish to establish and put in place, one that has existence on into eternity. However, others might not yet be ready to hear it or to receive it. You know, sometimes that message is meant just for us. So perhaps our stating and declaring should be our form of worship and praise that we give to our Father when we lift our eyes on high and behold only Him. Stating and declaring is a form of affirmation, affirming what we know to be true. Now, a statement of declaration or affirmation does not stand alone. When included in a time of meditation, in a moment of silence, spiritual light gives validation and significance to what we have declared to be true. When this happens, we stand on holy ground. Now we know that we know, and no one can take that from us. What is revealed in the soul of man? It's personal. Each of us receives our own revelation. When we attempt to include our fellow man in our way of life, perhaps it is best to serve as the example and not necessarily with words. We have brought God into our experience. Let us remember, God is a presence, and when He is present, there is harmony and peace. Perhaps that is enough. We feel that since we have found a way to bring God into our experience, that we may claim all that belongs to God. God expresses as us. There are no flaws or defects in what God has created. We have read that what God has created is good and very good. We wonder how it might work for us if we were to claim in this way. Now, we may consider that since God is our source, we may expect that He provides our good and also the appropriate avenue through which it should come to us. So we begin to look around us, expecting it at any moment, appearing just the way that we want it to appear. Now, it is true that God has already provided for us. However, this is not how He does His work. We cannot ask God to do our bidding according to our personal specifications. God is not our servant. As an example, as a human being, we are concerned about our health. We have also read that God is the health of our countenance, meaning the health of our expression, our being. If this is true, then we realize it is not necessary to ask God to use some power to remove disease or to establish wholeness in us. We can no longer continue with that old way of prayer, the one of supplication and petition. When we have the realization of God, the presence of God realized is the health of our countenance, the health of our expression and our being. God does not establish health, make health, or somehow bring it to us. God is health. God is good, and beside Him there is no other good. In the act of attaining a realization of God, we find that God is the health of our countenance, the health of our being. As a human being, we are concerned about our supply. Now, by the same principle, God does not give us supply, bring it to us, or send it to us. God itself is supply. And when we have God, we have an infinity of abundance. Remember, God is a presence to be realized, which is why the goal of the spiritually minded is to bring God into daily experience. We now understand that God realized is fulfillment. The spiritual way of life is our way of life, the one where we are willing to be led by Spirit. As we practice the presence and make contact with the Spirit within, we find ourselves moving in a spiritual rhythm that carries us forward. There is an awareness of a presence flowing in and through us. Soon we realize that it carries the responsibility of caring for us. It is responsible to go before us, making every crooked place straight. It carries the weight, no matter how heavy our load might be. It does the work. We may relax because God is in charge. There is no pressure on our part to act or to move in a particular way. There is no reason to think anything at all. We become the beholder, standing aside, watching our life unfold. And it does so according to God's plan, not ours, according to His purpose for us and our reason for being. Now we walk this earth plane, not as that man of dust, but as that man who has his being in Christ. We may have thought that we brought God into our experience. However, He was there all the time. We simply had to awaken to His presence. We had to be consciously aware that He was present in us. The rhythm of life carries us forward as one. We walk and we talk with God as one. Oneness. We can rely on it and we can trust it. Let us choose this day to do so. This morning, let us lay aside the ways of the world and turn within. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we enter our time of meditation, we close that door to the outside world. We release our thoughts and our emotions. In our time of stillness, there are no distractions. There's nothing to disturb us, nothing to demand our attention. In the solitude of this moment, we are alone with God. We rest in His presence. We feel His love comfort us, restoring us to our rightful place as His beloved child. A sense of peace comes over us, washing away the sting of past mistakes and misguided belief. The still small voice whispers, "Turn to me. You will find me. I am the good shepherd. I speak words of wisdom. Follow my voice into green pastures and still waters. I am with you at all times, in those times of joy, but also in the times of sorrow. I walk with you in the valley of dark places." As we leave the service this morning, we carry God with us in consciousness. Wherever we are, we find Him by our side. So let us not worry over the conditions of the day or the concerns for tomorrow. That is but the arm of the flesh, the lure of temptation. We are of the household of God, counted among His people, the spiritually minded. Trust that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen. Go in peace.